In this episode, discover the one place your business shouldn't be using video.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Hey now. All right, I've got a fun episode for you, so let's get to it. What is up? So much fun going down. The latest follies from the Facebooklers in Menlo Park. We're going to talk about that. How first impressions impact your business. I'm going to talk with you about bedwetting. Yes, bedwetting. How long videos should be. Ray Liotta, the actor, will be discussed in this episode. As a digital futurist, I need to talk with you about developments in a future topic, interstellar advertising. I'll break down the entrepreneurial spirit and how it cannot be denied. We'll talk about premium wines, finally sold by the glass, how to seduce your target customers. We'll discuss the newly released DJI Pocket Osmo, which I've been rocking for some time, and when you shouldn't use video on your website. But first, as you know, I'm in a different city almost every week, and today, Sedona, Arizona, which is about an hour and a half north of my Wirebuzz office in Scottsdale. Now, Sedona, easily the prettiest place on earth. And to make sure you know just how stunning Sedona is, I'll post some photos on the show notes page for this episode. Now, besides Sedona, this week, Wirebuzz has had client video shoots in Dallas, New York City, and Denver, Colorado. And it's fun for me to be on set because at this point in the company's development, I'm mostly servicing our clients on a strategic or an executive level. I mean, there was a day where I was on every shoot, running every camera, carrying every light, taping down every cord to the floor so nobody slipped and sued me, right? You get it. And I used to lay out all of our clients' digital marketing strategies and create the scripts and then come out on location and film and edit the videos and then deploy their campaigns. But as Wirebuzz has grown, as we've become more successful and we've never lost a client. So as our projects continue to grow, I've had to hire people that are just better than me in each of the areas. And eventually I got right down into my zone of genius. But today we're filming in the office of a dear friend of mine, one of the world's leading breast cancer experts, Dr. Beth Dupree. Now you may recall last year, when Wirebuzz was hired to film in Amsterdam over 8 days for two different clients, one of our clients' key opinion leaders that we were working with on that trip was Dr. Beth Dupree. So I did a Facebook Live episode with her. Some of you saw that on social media. So I'm up here playing a visit, and then tomorrow I'm going to be doing more playing. I'm playing a little bit of hooky and going skiing at Snowbowl in northern Arizona as I'm preparing my legs for skiing with my ski patrol friends at Aspen and then Vail, which is coming up soon. You'll hear more about that as my legs get into more shape, right? Speaking of skiing, if you're a gearhead, I'm now rocking the DJI Pocket Osmo, which is DJI's smallest 3-axis mechanical handheld gimbal. It basically smooths out your camera shakes, and in real time, it just adjusts to your movements, so everything is super fluid. And I've been filming with the Pocket Osmo since early December. It actually arrived at our office as the Christmas party started and cocktails started flowing. I'm going to be posting a video of a compilation of scenes, B-roll, that I've been filming, and I'm doing a review on the Pocket Osmo. You're going to want to see it. Look for it on LinkedIn. That's where I'm going to be posting it. If you're not already connected up with me on LinkedIn, you are missing out. I post new things throughout the week, really great videos. I'm interested in your feedback and interacting with you. So make sure you check that out. By the time this episode airs, I can tell you right now, my review on the DJI Pocket Osmo will also be appearing on LinkedIn. And while I'm using the Pocket Osmo, I've been using it for my B-roll and for a lot of my videos. The Pocket Osmo is super small. It weighs like a pound or less than a pound and allows me to provide you with high quality information while I'm on the go. And so far, I like it a lot. I'm planning on capturing some content as I go up the ski hill tomorrow. I'll take it on some runs. You'll see me cutting some turns, just carving some S's into the side of the hill. It'll be fun for us to review that footage together and to get your feedback. Let's talk about sales for a moment. You know, when I'm in Sedona, I think about the greatest salesperson I ever met. This dude sold me a monthly case of wine membership hours after I told my wife we were going to start cutting back on spending. So he was so persuasive. This guy was so persuasive. He told me visual stories, captured my attention, connected me to all the different winemakers, that I had to march my ass back in there the next day and cancel my monthly wine box gift. I'm not even a big drinker. I just fell susceptible to the greatest salesperson I ever met whose stories resonated deeply with me. In fact, when I went in and canceled my wine box of the month from this guy, this wine sommelier was going to send me, I ended up leaving with three bottles. That's how persuasive the dude was, even when I went back and got the gumption the next day. If you're a golf fan, golf is coming up in this episode. Or if you appreciate collector cars, well, this week, a couple blocks from the office, the Phoenix Open and the Barrett Jackson Auto Auction are going down for reals. And my house is like right in between both of them. You know, I shouldn't complain. My drive to the office is typically only 5 minutes, which is 2 hours and 55 minutes less each day than my commute to the Premier Radio Network was when I lived in Los Angeles. I could do that entire drive with my knee without touching the steering wheel because I was only going like 6 or 8 miles an hour. Hey, speaking of moving, you know, I'll be traveling next week. The Wirebuzz digital strategy team will be in San Francisco working with our clients on their 2019 digital marketing, video creation, customer lead generation goals. I bunch all of those together. Why? Well, because I already know that video is the most powerful tool on the internet, but you got to use digital marketing tactics to get people to go through the customer's buyer's journey. And Wirebuzz has like 25 clients between San Francisco and San Jose. So we'll be up there meeting with them, breaking down their strategies and showing them what we would do for them if we could make all the decisions and guide them 100% of the way. You know, it's a lot of fun for us. Early January, we jumped on the phones and had meetings with our clients. They told us what their goals were. We took steps back. We strategized internally. Now we're going up there to pitch ideas, land bigger projects, reel them home. And one of my favorite feelings as a business owner is going up to San Francisco, to Silicon Valley, and reeling back projects that somebody in Silicon Valley should be able to figure out, but they always come right back home to what we do at Wirebuzz. And that's a really cool feeling. In February, I'll be in Colorado. In early March, I'll be doing my thing in Miami and Central Florida. I've got a speaking appearance coming up in multiple places, but one I'll tell you about that I have a set date for, and you just might be that. That'll be coming up in a little bit. Opportunity is here, man. How far you'll go in your career depends on how quickly you'll take advantage of opportunities. You know, it depends on how much you learn and put into action. Your initiative may not get noticed by your first boss, but consistent, hungry learners, they create opportunities for themselves. You know, some fool themselves into thinking others are holding them back. But in the long run, hungry learners, they're in charge. You know why? Hungry learners, they're the ones that control how news and information flows into a company. They're the first ones to see developing trends and to understand what competitors are doing and to be able to bring up ideas to pivot. The same laws of success, they govern my life. How much I learn and put into action will determine the trajectory of my clients' results and my career. Actually, the more I learn will also determine what my vacations look like, the car I drive, the size of my house, all of those things, what my retirement nest egg will look like, right? Always, always learning is how I stay years ahead in my industry. And for a while now, my team has held a private Wirebuzz Insider Facebook group where we learn from each other. We share interesting blogs, marketing strategies, and discuss how to use video to pump up the jam on our clients' ROI. It's all about a return on investment. All of that is going down for reals inside of our Facebook Insider group. It's the Wirebuzz Insider group. And if you're hungry and you need to learn how video makes marketing, sales, events teams grow revenue, then learn and share with me and my team. This week, Team Wirebuzz is watching another webinar from the Vidyard Fast Forward webinar series. But if you're already too stuffed from learning too much, can't have another bite, even if it's just a wafer-ment. It's just a wafer-ment, sir. It's only huafa-thin. By the way, if you know what I'm referencing, hit me up. If you're stuffed and not interested in learning anymore, go to somebody else's group. But if you're ready for consistent growth, the secret code for entry into our Wirebuzz Insider group is, got it? Knock, knock, knock. Never to be spoken above a whisper. Just go and knock. Go ahead. Discover how Marketo uses video and shares insights. Discover how HubSpot uses video to pump up its results, or how they recommend their customers use it. All of that is happening inside of the Wirebuzz Insider group. Knock nicely. We might let you in. Now, if you're going to be attending the Digital Summit coming up in Phoenix, I think it's like the February 11th and 12th. Well, I'll be speaking there on how to sell faster using business videos, telling powerful stories that engage your target customer and ultimately drive sales. And Marcus Krieg and I are now full steam ahead on our book that we're writing together. More about Marcus coming up. We should be in print by October or November of 2019. The name, TBD, but our entrepreneurial spirits are afresh and live. They're just pumping right now. Entrepreneurial spirit, let's spend some time on that. Have you ever thought about what makes a great business idea? It's actually pretty simple. If you can solve an existing problem that the masses are struggling with, you have a much better chance of developing a successful business. Like when I started Wirebuzz, before video marketing even had a name, one of the biggest technology writers who's known me for years, I pitched the idea to him or her. I'm being vague, not gender neutral. And I pitched the idea of a digital agency, search, social, email, traffic, sales, that specialized in using video to amplify results. And him or her's response was, why would anybody need that? But I'm an early bird. Early birds get the worm. And I recognize the entrepreneurial opportunity before me, right? But you have a much better chance of developing a successful business if the masses are struggling with a problem and you're able to solve it. Need an example? All right, a couple nights ago, my wife, the love of my life, she opened up a bottle of wine. She might have a glass or two here or there, and then the rest of the bottle gets poured down the drain. I'm not a big drinker. I might have two glasses a week, but that's really the problem. There's a problem here that the market should be able to solve because customers are having it. But one San Francisco startup saw an opportunity. You see, TechCrunch reports Vinebox is hoping that they can get consumers to buy premium wine by the glass, and they'll convince investors on a $5.9 million round of funding. Solve a problem, build the business. Got it? So the next time you notice a problem that frustrates you, ask yourself what the solution would be. If money was no object, how could this possibly be solved? The reason I want you to think about money not being an object is most people stop and pump the brakes on a good idea because they limit around funding or money. You should be thinking about what is that solution. Allow that river to flow of ideas and opportunities. And before you know it, you might have just created the solution. You might have noticed a problem that frustrates millions of people. And then you might just launch a business and go on a funding round. But you got to be willing to think out of the box. But if you want to be a great entrepreneur, you need to practice thinking way out there on the distance. You know, Amazon wasn't thinking at the very beginning about how do we get people to buy and then can we set up free shipping? They were thinking a superstore, a mega store, right? And they slowly got there. Uber wasn't thinking about owning all these vehicles at the beginning. Well, maybe they were. That would have been an impediment. Instead, think big picture, way out of the box, like outside of the existing world we currently live in. Uber was not in that world. Hulu, not in the world we currently were living in when it got invented, right? Smartphones, Google, YouTube, you name it, man. All way out of the box ideas. Don't limit yourself. Think expansively, and amazing things can happen. Think large, larger than everyone else. Need an example? Digital Trends is reporting. We're accustomed to being bombarded with ads on TV, radio, smartphones, newspapers, magazines, websites, movie theaters, billboards, all of them feeding us a steady supply of messages. Buy this, buy that. Don't do this. Don't do that. If you have side effects, do this, right? They're all designed to influence our purchase choices and to sway our opinions about stuff. Now, well, it's out of this world, man. It's going interstellar. A Russian startup. It's always about the Russians. They plan to use tiny satellites to fill the skies with brightly lit advertisements from hundreds of miles up. Now think about it. You're gazing out your window, dreamily looking at the stars at night, enjoying the beauty of a starry sky only to find a McDonald's ad offering you 2-for-1 Big Macs in a limited time promotion. Sound annoying? Start Rocket. The team behind this wacky sounding idea believes it'll have its equipment ready by 2020, with contacts offered to corporate customers soon after. And by contacts, what I really mean, not for your eyes, I missed a letter. I mean contracts being available by 2020, turning the sky into an enormous canvas for satellites to generate ads would be a winner for marketers looking for new ways to reach their audience, according to Vlad Stinovich, a fellow behind the ambitious project. Think Russians. It's always the Russians. Which leaves me one question. Would ads in the sky be a problem for you? Would it annoy you? If so, you should think about creating the Interstellar ad blocker. And if you're not thinking about that ad blocker, baby, I am, and I should start working on it because that is going to piss me off. Ads in the sky. Whenever there's a problem, do your future earning potential a big favor, identify the solution, and then think about bringing it to the masses. Interstellar advertising. That article from Digital Trends will be on the show notes page for this episode. Facebook launches petition feature, which on the surface level sounds brilliant for everyone who hasn't been paying attention. At this point, can you even trust Facebook? I told you we were approaching, I did this 2 years ago.
El beso de la muerte, the kiss of death.
Right, I told you about that. And then Facebook went and started censoring. And then the cluster happened. The trust went. And if you share your political thoughts and then put yourself in a group of people who agree with you, like in this new petition feature that Facebook is rolling out, how do you know if you can trust Facebook with your personal thoughts and that they're not going to put you on some master list of people who don't think in an appropriate manner? What is an appropriate thought process? And who put them in charge of determining what is hate thought and what isn't? You know, Facebook has two fundamental problems. People can't trust anything they say, even when they're under oath. And Facebook continues to censor people who don't think like Facebook's founders. Now, this idea might have worked in 2011, Zuck, but your reputation and cover, dude, they've been blown. And if you aren't sure what I'm talking about, start doing your own research. If you're a listener, as a former investigative reporter, I'm typically like a year or two ahead. When I start talking about things, people look at me like I'm a conspiracy theorist or something, right? But I've been telling you about this for a long time, and now it's pretty damn obvious. But don't take my word for it. Start doing your own research, and it'll be obvious to you too how the Zucklings are consistently limiting opposition speech. In a totally unrelated story, how much money do you think Facebook spends on security for the big Zuck each year? Well, according to the Robb Report, Apple, I'm going to provide you a little context. I want you to think in the back of your head, how much security does Facebook spend on the Zuckmaster rap? All right. According to the Robb Report, Apple spent $310,000 on CEO Tim Cook's personal security. That's $310,000. Amazon chief, Jeff Bezos, you know, the guy with the, they'll ship it for free, that guy. He spends $1.6 million each year on his security. But Facebook spends $7.3 million a year on the big Zuck. So why is Zuckmaster's security seven times larger? I'm sure it has nothing to do with limiting people's speech. By the way, if you're now saying, wow, Todd, dude, you're really worked up about this Facebook censorship thing, please know, and don't miss this, I will always defend the free speech of people I disagree with. That's the test. Disagreement is how we learn. Debating is healthy. Censorship is the indicator that someone can't defend their own views or they don't believe others have the right to have that opinion. Both super dangerous. And as the youngest kid in my family, disagreement is how we learn. It's how I proved my sisters wrong, and it's how they taught me to put down the toilet seat. Can we talk about the big Zuck again just a little bit longer? TechCrunch is reporting. Today, the Facebook founder announced he's going to host a series of public discussions about the future of technology in society, the opportunities, the challenges, the hopes, and the anxieties. That was a direct quote. He plans to hold the talks with different leaders, experts, and community members in a variety of formats and venues. Though they'll all be publicly viewable, from Facebook and Instagram and other traditional media. So why is Zuck doing this? I can explain it in four words. Crisis management, damage control. Every time Zuck has spoken out about Facebook's data breaches, campaign finance violations, censorships of opposing speech, shadow banning, he's been super evasive. And that's been damaging to Facebook's business. His investors, they're not happy with it. And in the hopes that they can hypnotize you to forget, the Facebooklers are rolling out Zuckmaster to lull you slowly back into life on Facebook as normal. Interesting, isn't it? I know a few things about hypnosis. My grandfather, who I was partially raised by, was an early pioneer of American hypnotherapy. More on him in a moment. You know, I love video for business, but there's one scenario where I don't recommend using video, and that's background videos used on websites. Reason? You know what I'm talking about first? Before I get into the reason, I'm talking about when you go to somebody's homepage and in the background, they got this beautiful background video that's kind of looping. Looping meaning it starts over every like 10 seconds or something. And the reason I don't recommend this, and the reason this is probably the only time I don't recommend using video for your business, is because these background videos, they violate the primary goal of your website. So what is that primary goal? To get your prospects and your customers to go through your information so they are ready to make a buying decision. That is it. And background videos where the image is changing or there's motion going on, what does that do to your website's primary goal? It kills it, crushes it. And what it's really doing is it's just like, you know, background videos and homepage sliders. Homepage sliders, which are like carousel images, they don't work because when you use random motion on your site, that's what they're really doing. Those things are creating random motion. We're forcing visitors to mentally go through a paralysis analysis process, and they leave without understanding our product or following our information flow path. So instead of the eye following a natural progression through the page in a very organized manner, the carousel image, the background video, the slider image, that motion becomes a distraction to your visitors, forcing their eyes to then jump back up to the top of the page and to re-engage the content that just moved where they left off. Make sense? If you want to learn more information on background videos, image carousels, or sliders, just go to the show notes page for this episode or wirebuzz.com/homepage-sliders. Give that to you one more time. wirebuzz.com/homepage-sliders. I've got a whole page on this topic because every damn week I'm teaching people to make their website easier to digest. If you want somebody to convert, make it simple. If you want somebody to stall out, get confused, and then go bounce, go back to Google, follow up the search, look at your competitor's website and hire them, use background images and a background slider. Have you heard about Trove? I'll spell that. It's like T-R-O-V with a little line above the O that I don't know what it's called. Thomas in Sweden. You know who you are, Thomas. You were a great host when you had me speak out there in front of a huge audience of marketers in Gothenburg. Whatever that line is, that like cute little line that's not on my keyboard, above the O, would you mind telling me what that is? Go to LinkedIn and drop me a note or send me an email. So Trove is an on-demand insurance for your things. If you're a member of the Wirebuzz Insider Facebook group, you'd know about Trove. Our director of production, Dale Krupla, posted the video in our group, and we loved how Trove explained their product. But as you know, the video is one piece to a much larger digital strategy playing out. What does the website page need to do? How is that page presented and laid out? What are the core messages that need to be in place that support the video? And how do you move viewers who click on your call to action, your CTA, to the next step? Most marketers, they don't lay that out, all of the detail, before they start creating their videos. And then they have a cluster on their hands. I call them marketing train wrecks. But when marketing has a train wreck, sales is the one that takes the brunt of it. But as a frequent listener of the Toddcast, you already know, start with strategy, map out the entire path to purchase, and make sure everyone involved in your project, the strategist, the script writer, the video creator, the web developer, the content marketer, the ad spend person, see how I did that? Gender neutral. All of them sign off on the strategy tactics prior to creating the video. Far too often, businesses get so excited by creative, they forget all the essential pieces, and that's when marketing and sales train wrecks happen. To see the Trove video with that little line above the O, request to join our Wirebuzz Insider Facebook group, where you can learn with me as Wirebuzz stays way ahead of the curve. You know, the first act of mass communication, it was an electrical buzz that was transferred across a wire. And now 148 years later, it's obvious marketing buzz that doesn't convert into revenue, it's absolutely worthless. For businesses that are serious about transferring attention created by the buzz into revenue, that's what Wirebuzz is for. We're a video marketing agency for ROI. And if you want to learn how we guarantee that our video projects transfer the buzz into a conversion, we created a 5-part video-based mini course that's free to the listeners of the podcast. It is part of your benefits of being a follower, somebody who comes here regularly and learns. And you can get access where I teach how we guarantee that our videos generate ROI. And you can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/ROI. Cool? All right, go do it. Or you can always just send me a little Morse code message. But I got to tell you, that'll take a whole lot longer. Hey, can we talk about the power of key opinion leaders, also known as KOLs? You see, every industry has thought leaders or rock stars that your target customer follows and learns from. And creating videos with KOLs are often the fastest way to extend their street cred back to your business. You know, these are people that everybody knows in the industry, right? And so if you want to extend their street cred to your product or service, often doing videos with these KOLs is a great way to command attention, get your name out there. And if you want to learn how to create powerful testimonial videos, make sure you go to wirebuzz.com/173 and listen to my interview with Victor Haseman. Victor is the former lead of Salesforce.com's video marketing team. It's super valuable. It's a great episode. wirebuzz.com/173, and you'll learn about how Victor and I met early in the morning after Trump and Clinton had their election. The very next morning, Victor and I met in San Francisco in front of 600 people at a Vidyard event where I interviewed him on stage. wirebuzz.com/173. Have you seen the actor Ray Liotta's Chantix commercial? I don't know. It's like some anti-smoking. Like if you're addicted to smoking, you take this Chantix, I guess it's called. Well, Liotta explains how he struggled to quit smoking, but then Chantix helped him finally quit. Problem, agitate, solve. That is the framework of the script, the messaging script in this Ray Liotta commercial. And the reason I like this commercial so much is because I'm interviewing with KOLs all the time. people that are giving their testimonials. What we're doing in Sedona today is a KOL interview. And I know, like, the one that I'm filming with is one of these top rock stars that is so comfortable on camera. One of the most comfortable people you'll ever have on camera. But then there's Ray Liotta, and I've done thousands of these testimonials, even patient testimonial videos. And this one is just more believable than anything else I've ever seen. It's a commercial. So it's different than a web-based testimonial, right? It's got a 30-second time frame. We're going to get into this in just a moment. How long should a video be, Todd? But I'm going to post it on the show notes page for this episode, and you'll get access to it, be able to watch it. And then look at his vibe, because the dude is just chilled. This is what a professional who talks to the camera all the time, what he's like when he's giving a testimonial. Super inspiring. Make sure you check that out. Wirebuzz.com/188. And if you're in the insider group, it's there also. Wirebuzz Insider Group, yeah, on Facebook. Be there. Be square. You know, every day people are asking me how long should a video be. It comes up in almost every client meeting. I was speaking recently. I don't know where I was in this country, but I did a whole speech and then the lady raised her hand. And her name was Barbara. I'll totally remember it. I was like, I called on Barbara and she said, how long should a video be? And when people are looking for like a quick numerical answer, they're doing themselves a disservice. The correct answer, the honest answer, the ethical answer that I have to give people is it isn't a number. It's not like 87 seconds or 2 minutes. You know, the reason I don't do podcast episodes on the exact number that a video should be is because all products, all services, all businesses are different. Some are complex, others aren't. Some businesses have an 18-month sales cycle and others are an impulse buy. So what, you on average? Let me just tell you a magic number. It won't be accurate. So asking for an exact number is setting your unique product or service up to fail. Instead, think about making your videos compelling and succinct. Deliver the right message at the right time and don't go a second longer than necessary. Now that's tricky, right? Because we're all in love with our product or service. We all want to see our product presented the right way. And it's virtually impossible for people who are close to their product to tell something succinct because they want to tell you not just about the three most important features, but they want to talk about the 33 features they also love. Deliver the right message, succinct, compelling, don't go a second longer. And if you're a golfer and you're not at the Phoenix Open, sometimes, this is going to sound strange, I've never voiced this to another person. Sometimes I look at a business video like the different clubs in your golf bag and the ball as my prospect. Check this out. Every hole is a different length, right? You gotta go a different journey. So every product, every service, every business needs to move somebody, the ball or the prospect, to a different length. The odds of hitting a hole in one, super rare. So rare, golfers, they don't obsess on hitting a hole in one on every swing. That would be ridiculous, right? Instead, the smartest golfers aren't asking which one club they should use on every hole and every shot and how hard they hit it. The reason is, you know, all these holes are different lengths and all product services, they have different levels of education needed before buying can be a no-brainer. Instead, move your prospects down the fairway with the least amount of effort for them and down your buyer's journey and set your prospects up for the next piece of information they need before they're ready to easily roll into the sales conversion hole. You might need 4 different types of clubs. You might need that on one hole, right? And you might need multiple types of videos designed to teach different things down through that customer's journey to making a decision. An overview video in the least amount of time, with the least amount of effort, is going to help you move your prospects from the tee, from first introduction to the most logical information. You chip prospects further with a testimonial video, or if you got to go a further distance, you know what you do? You pull out an iron. And then you put them towards a decision by answering late stage questions, putting them right into the hole so they convert. And I just mentioned three or maybe four videos. Your product might only need 30 seconds to get that message out. I highly doubt it. More on that in a moment. Your product might need 30 videos to complete the sales process. Think about an 18-month sales cycle. So do yourself a favor. Map out the type of information that you need to communicate through the sales process. And then prioritize the information all the way from teeing off with them, your introduction, to the final decision when they fall through the bottom of your funnel. And one last word of caution on this. If you think a 30-second video is all you need, you're most likely mistaken. A 30-second commercial is not a magic number either. That's just the standardized length television and radio created so they could sell ads and do it in a systematic way. People who want 30-second commercials typically have a historical bias, right? There's a reason why infomercials, which can be 10 minutes or an hour, convert at the highest rates. There's a reason why at 2:30 in the morning after a frozen burrito and 10 beers, you sit down and watch infomercials and buy a Thighmaster. So stop asking for a magic number of how long a video should be and start thinking tactically about the amount of information you need to communicate and that you need that prospect to digest before people reach into their wallet and throw money at you. SumoMe looked at 650,000 blog visits. That's a lot of blog visits. And found that only 20% of people actually read articles start to finish. Now, do you find that interesting? 20% read the article all the way through. Are you kidding me? Doesn't that number feel inflated to you? That number can't be right. 20% has to be high. Here's what I do know. People are four times more likely to watch video than to read text. Always be optimizing the way you transfer information and you'll get better results, because video is much more compelling. The more complex your product or service is, the faster you should be thinking about how you can become more compelling. Get it? Sometimes there's an art to it. There's an art to seduction. And you know the feeling when you're in high school and you had a crush on that teacher? You know what I'm talking about. Same thing happens the moment you find a new business guru. It's super captivating, right? And they're speaking directly to your needs, to your pain, and helping you through your frustration. And the same type of seduction happens for your target customer when they find the perfect guru who answers their questions in simple to understand terms. They become their new hero that helps change their life. Your business, your product, your service deserves that opportunity to seduce your target prospect in the most compelling and captivating way so you can change their lives. And the most compelling way for you to connect and inspire new customers should be obvious at this point. I don't even need to see it. I don't even need to say it. It's video, right? Oh, this is funny. I read this in studyfinds.org. Have you ever heard of studyfinds.org? Me neither. But a survey says average person forms a first impression in just 27 seconds. Think about how long it took you to form that first impression on my joke I used a moment ago. Did it hit or not? 27 seconds is a joke. You know, my grandfathers, they were still alive. After reading this headline, they would have called that a bunch of BS. They ran our family business with my dad. I went to work with them all the time. Those guys, they knew first impressions happened in seconds. And that's why they were obsessed with teaching me about eye contact and a firm handshake. More on them in a moment, all right? We live in a digital age. And now developing first impressions, it happens in warp speed. Think about that business website that you went to that had a whole wall of text, no images. What first impression? What about the website that was super old? Think about it. Formatted from a pre-mobile day, but you're looking at it on your mobile phone. What kind of first impression did you have? And how long did you need to react to that wall of text, right? And if your brain is like mine, it like when you see that, you say, boring, hard to digest, not engaging, failing to speak directly to me. Like that's what's going through my brain. And as a result, it becomes nothing I care about at that moment, right? My grandfathers sold roofs for homes and businesses in Los Angeles, H. Hartley Roofing. We were in the roofing business. Those boys knew tar, and they knew the power of using stories. A story for a salesperson is the glue that holds their prospect's attention. And when my mom's dad used hypnosis to stop my bedwetting at the age of 14, I already knew first impressions at sleepovers were made in seconds, not 27 seconds. The truth is, businesses, they wet the bed all the time. They make horrible first impressions by overcomplicating their messaging and forgetting to tell powerfully relevant stories. The top of your website should feature messaging and a supportive video that starts with what your target customer, your target prospect cares about when they arrive on your website. So don't start with explaining your business's legacy. For over 25 years, we've provided X, Y, and Z. Nobody cares. Don't start with a sales pitch. Don't talk to them about product. If you missed the last episode, where Wirebuzz's Marcus Krieg discussed the Wirebuzz five-step roadmap for creating an irresistible marketing message. You should listen to that next. That episode should really be queued up right when this one ends. Wirebuzz.com/187. And because people are four times more likely to watch video than to read, you should also prioritize high-level, compelling video stories up towards the top of your page, in the center. It's easily digestible, aligns with your business mission, with what your target customer cares about right now. So many businesses get that wrong. Now, a great video, what it does is it transfers the most important information in the least amount of time, doubles how long they spend on your website, and increases sales by 85%. With your message, use few words, but the right words, emotion wherever possible, and make it visual so you can show and tell. That helps your prospects know you've been there before and you've solved the same problems before. And candidly, stories are everything. Need proof? Well, you know that song, "It Never Rains in California." I don't really know the melody. It's been too long. But my grandfathers, when that song came out, were selling roofs in Los Angeles. Bright and sunny LA. My grandfathers knew they would never survive selling roofs in LA without using stories to gain attention, transfer that attention, and to explain the service that they provide. The next time you meet someone new, time yourself. You're judging people in a whole lot less time than 27 seconds. And make sure your website recognizes it doesn't have 27 seconds to get to the point. I told you I had a big episode. First impressions, bedwetting, how to seduce your target customer, how long videos should be. We talked about Ray Liotta and the future, interstellar advertising, and your opportunity as an entrepreneur to create the solutions whenever you see problems. And people like me and people like you will pay you for those solutions. We talked about premium wine sold by the glass, the DJI Pocket Osmo, and when you shouldn't use video on your website. That's background videos because they suck. It's just the God honest truth. Hey, I'm going to be up in Flagstaff skiing tomorrow after this video shoot, then off to San Francisco. Look for content in both the Wirebuzz Facebook Insider Group and on LinkedIn. Lots of information coming out. If this episode was valuable to you, all you have to do, go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Hit the subscribe button. And each and every week, I will make sure that you get a new episode of tactical information on how to be a better digital marketer sent directly to your mobile device so you can listen to me at the gym. And my one ask is, if there's anybody out there that you're rooting for, that you want to show them how to sell faster in the digital age, if you want to give them an opportunity to be more compelling or convincing, share this episode. Share some of our podcasts. Help spread the word and reach out to me along the way. I always love hearing from you guys. Anyway, on behalf of the Wirebuzz team, I wish you continued prosperity. And the next time that you're sitting down, my goal is to make sure the next time you're sitting down in a conference room, that in that room you are the video marketing master. Peace.